Not that I...
It's fine. It's good. Yeah,
it's we'll handle it.
It's good. We're okay.
If you would turn to John 10:10. The title of this message is Spiritual Warfare Realities. And I want you to just listen to what the Lord has said. Those of you who are there, read along with me. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest." We have come through a long process to get to this point, and we have not arrived at our destination yet. Where we are going is going to be very treacherous for us. And the subject that I'm going to be tackling is one that you probably heard before, but now is going to be required of you to implement into your life. God expects us to grow and to grow up. And so in understanding spiritual warfare, what we generally equate spiritual warfare with is the exorcist, where we have the priest come in with the holy water and we're sprinkling that, and we hear all the animal grunts and women speaking in men's voices, men speaking in women's voices, objects flying through the room, a spinning types of stuff, incantations, odors that are only are satisfied in hell. Demonic activity is really going on. And I would say that is all true, and it's all demonic, but that is not the warfare that we are entering into. The warfare that we're entering into requires us to become even more disciplined and more focused. And that warfare is between our ears. That warfare has to be understood that Satan speaks things into our minds and we accept them as our own thoughts and we do nothing with them. And so what happens is we act upon them in a very ungodly way. And then we excuse them. And so today what I want to do is begin to give you an overview that what goes on in your mind will affect you personally, will affect your family, will affect this church. And if you do not know how to get yourself focused because you have short attention spans, or if something's moving on to this side and something's going on that, you will miss what the Holy Spirit is trying to get you to understand today. It is important that each and every one of us understand that we are susceptible to this attack. And this attack is ongoing 24/7. And if you don't believe me, just wait. For too long, the Church of Jesus Christ has been hearers of the word and not doers. And I'm talking world now. What I'm trying to do is give you a world perspective. Especially in America, America has been overwhelmed with tremendous Bible teaching and has underwhelmed in tremendous lack of church discipline and exercising themselves unto godliness. That is the truth. We are no longer considered a Christian nation, because Christianity has become a fad. And this is why I say to you, don't refer to me as a Christian, because all that is a nomenclature that the world puts on us. Tell me that I'm a man of God, I'll be happy. Don't put a title on me, and don't accept the title that someone else is putting on to you. Let them see Christ in you. Let them see how Christ is changing your heart, changing your lives, and changing your priorities. These are all keys into this. And we have to understand that in order for us to change, we have to understand how the enemy uses his tactics in such a way that it really bombards our minds. And for those who have been here with me and intercessory prayer and stuff, some of the comments that they come back is, I don't want to be in your shoes. Because I'm taking a lot of hits in my mind, and I fight a fight that only until recently have I begun to have the support of my sons to come along and help me fight this fight of faith. Because without you guys and without you growing up, this ministry would lack tremendously. And I praise God for your attentiveness and your willingness to become disciplined in those areas. But we got to continue on. By attacking our thoughts, the devil keeps us focused on one another. How does he attack our thoughts? What does he do to put these thoughts into our minds? And how does these things come out in everyday life in such a way that we become harbingers of evil, and we like Paul, when Paul says, you know what, you know, I know to do right, but I don't do it. And the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, those things I do do. How wretched am I? Well, hopefully today you'll pick up a key to understand that if you think stinky thinking, you will be living stinkingly. So a man thinketh in his heart that he is. And God wants us to begin to cultivate a life of godliness, holiness, and purity in such a way that it draws people to him. Not to us, draws people to him. My conversation to Terry was so heart-wrenching to me because she is in a fellowship that is dying on the vine. And she sees the records that's right in front of us, or in front of her, and she sees what God's doing. And when I start sharing and bragging about what God's doing in our lives and how God has a plan and how everyone is coming on board to this plan, and, you know, sometimes we take baby steps. Other people are, like, really gung-ho into these things. But it doesn't come because it's some sort of infatuation. It comes because you understand what is happening and you want to identify yourselves with what Jesus Christ is doing in the land. And this world is coming to an end. We understand that. But we have a greater part in which to play. And it isn't just to sit on the sidelines. Sitting on the sidelines is for safe church. We are a New Testament church. We have New Testament vision. And in that vision, it requires us to be proactive in our lives and in the lives of our families, in the lives of our communities. And the devil doesn't want us to do that. So what he does is he starts interjecting things into our minds in such a way that we focus on, man, Ed, that really bugs the daylights out of me. What was Ed doing? Well, I don't know. Well, why are you thinking that way? I don't know. But it really bugs me. And the next thing we know, I say something to Ed that could be offensive or derogatory towards him. And now we have this clash that goes on. None of us have those problems, right? We should all have our hands up. Attacking our thoughts, Satan keeps us focused on each other. Thereby, he himself is able to throw a grenade into a relationship and watch what happens in it. And he rejoices because he sits back, he gets his popcorn out, and it's like this movie, and he goes, man, this is just too easy. These guys are buffoons. And you died for them, Jesus? Well, that day is going to turn. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. For too long in America, the church has been feeding on the messages of what pastor has been saying, or listening to the television is, or listening to the radio, with no effect in changing their lives. No effect. And so what happens is we had this form of godliness, but we don't have power. And in order to advance into where God wants to take us, you know, the history of this church has been one that within 6 months' time, we had a group that was 30 and growing, and in the end of 6 months' time, there was four or five of us left, suffered a church split, and everybody was at each other's throat. And I'm left there thinking, what the heck just happened to us? And it was the enemy. People are selfish and self-centered. They want what they want. They believe that they are in God's perfect will until the chips are down. And I have to say that you guys are in this with me together. The chips are down, and you guys have elevated this thing so that Streams can become the church that God wants it to be. And all of you should just puff out your chest a little bit and say, thank you, Lord, and then sink it back in and remain humble, because it's Him doing it and not us. Amen? We have to understand that God is a good God. He is our Father. He has made provision for us. And in this provision, we still rebel against Him. We rebel because we listen to the thoughts that come into our minds, and we don't fill it with the words of God. How do we fill it with the words of God? When was the last time you devoted yourself to His Word? Well, you just don't understand, Pastor. I'm busy. I got a life outside the church. No, you don't. Your life is in Jesus Christ. You need to do what He tells you to do. Well, He tells me to go to the shore and party down there and have a great time. Really? If He's telling you that, then I expect to see some fruit of Christ-like character. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. You know, I'm sitting in front of my TV set, and, you know, I just need time to relax. So I put my Game Boy on, and I'm playing games. Is that what Jesus wants you to do? Well, yeah. You know, I relax by getting into the Word. When was the last time you picked up His Word? Well, you just don't understand. I'm so busy. No, you don't understand what's going on. You maintain your ignorance, and you show it by speaking to me, by making excuses for what's going on. And I have to tell you, those days are coming to an end. I'm not going to do anything. The Holy Spirit's going to do it. I'm going to pray it on you. You have declared yourself as a disciple of Jesus Christ, have you not? A follower of Jesus Christ, right? That requires everything that you are and everything that you have. It doesn't give you an option to make plans other than what God wants. And if God says, hey, you know, you can go do this, then go do it. But those options are coming less and less. And you know, you should know that my heart is one that I'm not going to stop you from doing anything. If God is telling you to do it, then do it. But understand, it's got to fit with His plan. And before we can go on and understand what the plan is, we have to be right with Him. And being right with Him isn't just repenting of a sin and not changing our lives. Those guys who went out to Band of Brothers for the first time understood how radical I'm telling people to be. It is a radical way of life for the true church of Jesus Christ, men, women, and children. It is not life like the world. Well, you just don't understand, Pat. No, you don't. You don't understand. I came out of the world. I understand what's out there. I don't want what's in the world, and I don't want you to get caught up into that stuff, because God's plan for you is greater than you could ever imagine. What God has for you, I need. I need it to be manifested. I need those gifts and talents to come forth. And if you're going to be sucked into the things that Satan's going to put into your mind so that you think that you have options, that you can do it tomorrow, that you know, I don't have to pay my bills on time. I don't have to go to work. I don't have to love my wife. I don't have to love my husband. I need somebody to love me. Get over it. Jesus is your husband. Jesus is your wife. Jesus loves you unconditionally. And Satan will put into your mind all those negative things just to keep you away from His Word. And in His Word, you find how much He loves you. In His Word, you find out what He expects of you. In His Word, He wants you to be built up in your spirit so that you may know what is the good and perfect will of God for your life. We run around here like we think that we have options, and we don't. The only option that you're given is the grace and mercy that comes forth from the Lord. And that's the truth. My question to you is, why are you here? Well, Pastor, you know, you have this blazing personality that I just really like. I like being around you. I like getting hit with a 2x4 every once in a while. I like that. Well, I'm here to tell you, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge the way you think. I'm challenging the leaders. They're reading a book that is no different than what I've said, but they're being challenged. And that's awesome, because I have two of them who are fighting over the book right now. Who's going to read what chapter? Well, sorry about that. Sorry about that. Limit of funds. What goes on in your mind determines how effective you are for the master. It is absolutely true. Pastor, I'm trying to reach out to my family. Praise God. But I'm not asking you to reach out to your family. I'm asking you, when are you spending time with God? That's all I'm saying. When are you spending time with God? Well, I work at night. I worked at night too. And I still made time. See, I didn't find time. I made time. He should be the most important person in your life, not you being the most important person in your life. We are so selfish and self-centered that it's almost worth puking over. We like to talk and believe about the lies of each and every person, but we don't want to hear about the truth about ourselves. And the truth of it is that we are lazy, we are rebellious, we are sinful, and we are stiff-necked. That's the truth. And yet, He puts up with us. But He's telling me that those days are coming to an end. We are transitioning into something that's going to require more of us. And I had a conversation with an individual this morning. I said, individuals think that they're ready for the transition, and they don't know that they're not. But we're transitioning anyhow. We're going to do that. So this is all preface to real spiritual warfare. So what is spiritual warfare? Let's take a look at Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20. I hope I've stepped on your toes. I hope I've made you mad at me. I hope I've done everything except lose you to the devil. Amen? Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20 says, I tell you the truth, this is the Lord speaking, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be bound in heaven. Again, I tell you, if two of you agree on anything that you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Jesus instructs us in the principles of binding and loosening. And then from there it goes into the power of agreement. Spiritual warfare is the binding and loosening of spiritual realms through prayer. It is the express purpose of attacking every stronghold that is in opposition, rebellion, and resistance to the gospel of the kingdom of God. It is taking power and authority and delegating it to the church to conquer every stronghold and bring it under the dominion of Christ. It starts here. That's what binding and loosing is all about. It isn't naming it and claiming it. It's understanding that you got problems in your life, and the only way that you're going to straighten these problems out is binding it according to what God says is possible and loosening His will into your life. What does that look like? When I say, God, I bind this in Jesus' name, I'm nailing it to the cross. Once I nail it to the cross, I leave it at the cross and don't think about it. Satan immediately, before you're even leaving the cross, comes in there and says, "Oh, Ken, you want a cigarette? Man, I think you really could use one." There's a man that's sold for God. But thinking of one that's wishy-washy. Man, go down, get stressed out. Man, got a huff and puff. What did Rod Aguilar said? A cigarette is a fire on one end and a fool on the other. And it's true. Take your subject, any subject, and see if you're nailing it to the cross. Are you binding it in your life so it's no longer going to dictate to you mentally? And Satan will come and put it in your mind. Oh, your husband's cheating on you. Why? You don't know where that thought comes from. He may be working late. He may be stuck in traffic. You see, Satan uses those thoughts that we have, our fears, our inhibitions, everything, and he plants it into our mind and says, "Now let's see what happens with this." And what do? If we are undisciplined and unfocused, we entertain that thought. And that thought then begins to germinate and begins to poison our mind. And once it starts poisoning our mind, it begins to poison our heart. And when it poisons our heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I was talking to a young lady I hadn't seen in a while, and she says, "Pastor, you know, I'm reverting." I said, "Why is that?" "Well, you know, I'm really not sure, you know. I get angry now, and I'm starting to curse again, and I'm saying bad things, and I'm thinking evil things, and I just don't understand." So, when was the last time you were in the Word? When was the last time you were in fellowship? When was the last time? When was the last time? And they couldn't remember. Could not remember. The further we get away from God's Word, the further we get away from fellowshipping, is the quicker the enemy comes in like a lion to roar, to separate, divide, and kill. But it all starts here in our minds. And you have to settle in your mind like I did years and years ago. I could care less about what people think of me. I care what God thinks of me. And I haven't seen a negative thing that He said about me. Except that He loves me, and the apple of His eye, He has a plan for me to succeed. He has laid before me life and death. Choose life. He has laid things before me to help people and do those things. You know, Satan has laid things in front of me too. He's laid power and prestige, women. You know, you name it, he's laid it in front of me. He's laid my previous drug life in front of me to tempt me, to try to fall. And I laugh because I'm now aware of how he does these things. "But you don't understand, Pastor." No, I do understand. I understand that you don't understand. And because you don't understand, Satan's whole ploy is to take advantage of your ignorance and turn it around on you to rob you, to kill you, and ultimately to destroy everything about you. Satan hates everything that is God's and everything of God, which includes us. And we understand that he came here and he usurped power, he deceived Adam and Eve, and took the rightful place of Adam and Eve's dominion from them. Jesus Christ came not only to restore mankind back into that position, but to pay the penalty of our rebellion. When he died and shed his blood, that is called what? It's called atonement. He atoned for us. He cleansed us. He gave us His righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus died on the cross and willingly gave us His position, so that now we are in heavenly places and we should be consumed with what God says. And it amazes me how we're not consumed. This is why Satan fights so hard to keep us out of the Word, because remember I said, if Satan can't keep you from being saved, he's going to keep you from understanding who you are in Jesus Christ. If he can't keep you from understanding who you are in Jesus Christ, he will keep you from understanding your power and dominion over him through faith in Jesus Christ. And if he can't do that, he will kill you. He will kill you. The more power and authority that you have in the kingdom, the more you're dealing with higher level demons and devils. And we can't even get it right in our thought life, which is just the imps of it. Oh, I'm struggling, Pastor. I'm struggling. You know, I'm just praying that God would prosper me. Well, what are you doing? I'm praying. I'm praying. Don't you understand? I'm praying. No. Prosperity is a motion. Just like faith is a motion. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We're not getting that building because God said we're getting that building. We're getting it because we're moving on what God said to us by faith that it's going to happen. And guess what? It's going to happen. It's happened. It's already happened. And you don't know the thoughts that go through my mind that Satan puts in there. Don't you realize that, you know, you put a lot on the line here. You put a lot on the line here. You know what? If the church doesn't come through, they're going to take your house from you. They're going to take this from you. They're going to take that from you. And I say, so? So? There's other houses. Aren't there? I see a whole bunch of them for sale. Maybe not filled with the blood, sweat, and tears I've had in this one. But there's other places. Satan doesn't want you to understand how great a threat you are to him. All the power of heaven. Think about this. All the power of heaven. I'm not saying the universe, because the universe is contained in heaven. All the power of heaven dwells in you. Dwells in you. Dwells in you. Dwells in you. You. All the power. Now think about, what does that mean? There's nothing impossible to him who believes. Nothing. Why? Because God has given us a creative mind in which to make these things happen in our lives. And then when we submit them to God, God brings them to pass. You see, the ploy of the enemy is nothing different than what he did in the garden. If you look at Genesis 3, you see how he attacked the weaker vessel first. That's us guys, right? I'm fragile. My feelings are usually hurt. You know, you say something that, you know, I may cry. Pastor, you really mean to me. Pastor, you don't love me. And I hear the devil coming out every time we say those things. See, because that thought that we mouth is not your thought. Because if you think about how love is demonstrated, how love is given, how love is committed, love believes all things, hopes all things. Love doesn't act unbecoming. There's sometimes you guys frustrate the daylights out of me and you don't know it. Then there's other times you do. And then I think about God and how frustrated I must make him. But Satan is here to pollute us. And the way he does it is to keep us from the Word. And the subtle attack that he gives us is, she says, did God really say that? Isn't that what he said to Eve? And of course, she added to the Word of God. Oh, he said that we weren't supposed to do this and do that. It looks great, but we can't even touch it. Where was Adam? Guys in fraternity know that he was right there. He was passive. He didn't open his mouth to cover his wife. And then when she took the fruit, he took of it too. That is a great idea. Satan has lied so bad that men and women don't know their place in Christ. Not because they're not willing, it's because they don't want to hear how God has set it up. Men today don't want responsibility. We want the privilege. We don't want responsibility. We want someone to take care of us. Is that God's design? I got a man in the house. I got one man in the house. No, it is not God's design. God's design is for us to take care of the weaker vessel. Her job is to come alongside to assist. But when she's there taking a mop and trying to get us to do what we're supposed to do, we are out of order. And Satan laughs, because you look at the family situations in America today, and divorce is still going up. It's over 60% in the church. I could care less what goes on in the world. In the church. See, when Adam was created and Eve was created, there was no pollution. Satan didn't have anything. He didn't have any ammunition to give them. So he had to create something. What he created was, he placed doubt into their mind. Now he had a way in. Jesus walked the earth and said, Satan has nothing in me. Why? Because he was pure. He was holy. He knew no sin. Was he angry? Absolutely. Was he frustrated? Absolutely. Did he sin? Absolutely not. And we can't even get our thought life right. Here was a man who walked the earth, who thought good things about everybody, who said good things about everybody except the religious people, who did good everywhere he went, even dying on a cross for a people who couldn't care less about him. And because of the fall, our hearts are filled with doubt, unbelief, rebellion, full of cursings and lies and excuses that God is tired of. And we have not been aware of what he's been doing to us. We have not paid attention. We have not been focused. We've been focused on ourselves, not on what is it that God wants to accomplish, what is it that he wants out of my life, what is it that I am, what I've been created for. You know, these are just basic things for all of us to think about. You have been created for a purpose. And that purpose is for the praise and God's glory. Now, within that praise and that glory, he has a purpose in using your life, if you allow him. And allowing him to use your life, he's able to use your life in such a way to manifest his power and glory through your life, as long as we don't doubt or believe or unbelief. Our failure is we don't believe that this warfare is real. Satan has done a good job in that. We're focused on people instead of having our eyes open to the true spiritual realities around us. The moment we act upon our evil desires is the moment we sin, and the enemy sits back and destroys our soul. And then he says, you don't need to repent. Who's going to know? God knows everything. He sees everything. I said to an individual who was here years ago, and I said to this person, the person says, all you focused on was sin. I said, well, if you got God focused, then I wouldn't have to focus on sin issues. I said, I would be able to share with you the plan of God. But as long as you maintain a sin focus, I'm going to tell you how evil that is. I'm going to tell you how bad it is for you. Now the person wants to come back and tell me I have a double standard. And I laugh. I'm like, what's a double standard here? The standard's still the same. You get right with God. Start moving your life. You get raised up. As He wills, not as I will. You know? I realize everyone's not like me. I realize that everyone doesn't have the intense desire. Not everyone's had the intense experience I've had in God. And I understand that. But I also understand that every one of us has dealt with the sin issue. Every one of us has evil thoughts. Every one of us have said things and done things to other people and then assassinated them in front of others just to make ourselves look good. And that's the truth. How do we fight? Turn to Philippians 4, 8 and 9. This is how we're supposed to fight this. Since the fall, we have had nothing but corrupt mindset. We have had nothing but evil things filled in our heart. Since Jesus Christ, we now have the ability to turn that all around. Philippians 4, 8 and 9 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you learned or received or heard of me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. These are our tools in order to get our minds regenerated. When we sit here and we praise God, it is to get our hearts right before God. When we don't praise Him, there's something wrong with our heart, because there's something wrong with our mind. And I'm saying it because God is speaking to all of us. He speaks to my heart to enlighten my mind, to motivate my flesh to do the will of God. But somehow, between here and there, there is a disconnect. The disconnect is, you know, the Bible not filling that void. The Word of God not filling that void. The disconnect is that I am not enlightened, so I don't do the will of God. You just don't understand, Pastor. I'm trying to get you to understand. Your thinking is convoluted. It is not right. God wants to take your perverted mind and turn it around so that you can see things as they are and see the greater possibilities of God's plan working through your life. Remember I said there's nothing stopping you but you. See, when Adam walked with God, he walked with Him. He talked with Him. Whatever Adam saw, he called it what it was. There was no doubt, no nothing. When God brought the animals to Adam, He named it, and that's the name it was. There was no doubt. Well, you know, should I call this a spider? Or should I call this an ant? It's a pineapple. what he said. There was definitive. He was purposeful. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he knew where he was going. He was going with God. God wants to go you to go along with him. He wants you to think of greater things than where you are today. You know, teenagers. Some have vision, some don't have vision. Some have vision, but no means. Others have vision and don't want to. Others don't have vision, but have the means and want to. And only in God. God is the only one who can take your vision, your desire, your hope, your dream, and take that and make it a reality if you walk with him. We don't want to deal with our sin issue. We don't want to read God's word. We don't want to put into practice what he says. And the result is that we're lonely, we're empty, and we're hurting because we would rather believe the lie than the truth. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Yeah, Jesus does. Nobody can feel what's going on inside of me. Jesus does. Nobody can know the pain that I'm going through. Jesus does. Jesus experienced everything that you and I could go through in this human life. And yet, he did not sin. That's an incredible thought. Well, you stubbed your toe. Hit your finger with a hammer. What did you say? Oh my gosh, I hit my hand. Oh, that hurts. Whoa. Now the first thing that came to my mind was cursings and anger and everything else. Did we vocalize it? Oh yeah, we did. Because nobody's watching that. Whew, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. God said for us that the way to victory is the renewing of our minds, the washing of the Word, cleansing our minds. If you want to clean up your life, you need to clean up your thoughts. To clean up your thoughts, you'll clean up your mouth. You'll clean up your habits. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will do it for you if you begin to submit it to him. And the more you spend time with God, the more you become holy as he's holy. The more you become light instead of darkness. But you don't understand, Pastor. I just don't have the same amount of time as you. I got 24 hours just like you. I purpose those hours. You don't. We were at DNA. And you heard Pastor Tusi say, you know what? God has called me to get up and pray more. So he gets up from 5 to 4 o'clock in the morning to start praying. And I know the man doesn't go to bed till sometime after 11. You guys know that my prayer time is anywhere from midnight on. And that sleep is a luxury for me. And I'm not advocating that that's what's going to happen to you. What I'm advocating is that when you flow in God's will, you do it because it honors him. He doesn't do things that makes it easy for us. He does things to kill us so that who he has created us to be in Jesus Christ comes forth from us. We're an empty tomb that's got to be rolled away so that the person of Jesus Christ in you comes out. And if you're not willing to do that, if you're not willing to deny yourself and pick up your cross, you are not worthy of the kingdom. They are not my words. They are the Lord's words. To think on good things, to think on pure things, to think on excellent things and all, it's a twofold purpose. First of all, what it does, it begins to teach you how to establish in discerning Satan's thoughts, your thoughts, and God's thoughts. The next thing it does is it enables you to become empowered with the Holy Spirit's help to tear down these strongholds. Once you recognize that this is not of God and you didn't think of it, well, that only leaves one other person, the devil. And so we, no, that's not, you know what? I don't believe that about Stephen. I don't believe that. No. In Jesus' name, I tear that down. That thought is cast out. I think good things. Stephen's a good kid. Stephen wants to cut my lawn this week. I won't let him do it because it's too hot. Yeah. I think good things of Stephen. Stephen learning how to cook on a grill. That's good. But what we do is we do the opposite in reality. What we do is, that's Stephen, yeah, mm-hmm, that's right. Mm-hmm. He's lazy. He's a bum. You know. He don't want to come to church. He wants to hang out with his friends. He doesn't want the things of God. He's no good. And then we think about it and we mull about it and we poison our heart. And then what happens is we can't relate to Stephen because we have sin in our hearts. And what do? When Stephen messes up, did you hear about Stephen? I told you he was going to do that, didn't I? Didn't I? And see, didn't it come to pass? See how Satan does this? See how Satan turns it around? One good thought is, I heard what happened to Stephen. What is it I can do to help? Does he need somebody to talk to? Does he need someone to, you know, I avail myself. If it's just prayer, I'll just pray for him. You know, I pray that God will deal with him and straighten this thing out. See the difference? But it starts here. We love gossip. I mean, the TV's filled with it. We love to hear all the dirt about everybody else. But we have so much dirt on us. We don't want to do nothing about it because we think we're immune. We're not. We're filled with sin that God wants to deal with. What is our tactics? Finally, we have our weapons in which to initiate into a good thought life. What are our tactics? 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 through 6 says, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On contrary, they are a divine power to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete." Satan not only will place his thoughts of rebellion, of sin, of lust, of hurts, inadequacies, insecurities into our mind. He will justify by putting thoughts in there, say it's okay to be that way. You see, that is the final shackle that enslaves you to him. And then he leads you around like a puppy dog on this chain without you even realizing it. Victory starts between our ears. Victory starts in believing that God has set us free from everything. What we need to do is pull those strongholds down once we see what God's thoughts are. Act upon it like God would act upon it. Destroy it. Repent. Be held accountable. You know, the shame of it is the Church of Jesus Christ doesn't practice that. I'm sorry. You most certainly are, but are you going to repent? Pastor, I wasn't kidding. No, I'm sorry. And I wasn't kidding either. Are you going to repent? Words mean something, actions mean something else, and to all of us, they may be something different. For the Church of Jesus Christ, there's not an option. The option is to get our thought life right. Once we get our thought life right, our life actions, our behaviors become right. And before you know it, you're spending more time with God than you really realize that your life is changing faster than you could ever want. And you're more involved in the things that God wants you to be involved in. But He doesn't want you involved in things because you think it's the right thing to do. You're involved in it because He has said that's what He wants you to do. And it's better to do His will than to sacrifice. We need to destroy every doubt, every ounce of unbelief, and every thought of rebellion that would cause us to think evil, speak evil of others, and pretend that everything is okay. It's no longer going to be acceptable for us to continue in this. If we want to grow in Jesus Christ, if we want to influence our families and our communities, and our places of employment, the schools that we go to, we've got to stop by stopping the thoughts that come into our minds and recognizing where they come from. We've got to stop acting upon them as though it's okay and trivialized. We have to stop and start being the people that God has called us to be. Amen? You must start to recognize the source of your thoughts and imaginations. And the first step of growing in grace is having the faith to believe that they're not yours. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You for this time. I thank You, Lord, that Your Word is true. And that everything that You give to us, God, is good and it is perfect. Help us, Lord, starting today, to pull down those imaginations. Pull down those things, God, that would inhibit us, Lord. Pull down those things, God, that would come against us, say that we're no good, that we're rotten, that this will never happen. You're dreaming out of your leg. God, there is nothing impossible with You. You created the universe. You created the earth. You created us, God. How impossible is that? Nothing is impossible, Lord. Father, bless Your people with good things, God. Bless Your people with good thoughts. Bless Your people with the spirit of discernment, Lord God. That we would no longer be tossed to and fro. We would no longer be victimized by our ignorance and innocence, God. But God, we would become mature in You, in our thought life, in our word life, and in our action life, God. God, use streams extremely, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.